Hello, my name's Jim, and I'm an alcoholic. I'm grateful to have this opportunity to tell what my story is, tell what I used to be like, what happened, and what I'm like now. Sticking to the guidelines in our big book. I know that a lot of people think I'm supposed to tell you what it was like, what happened, and what it is like now, but I think we all know what it was like. But you don't know what I was used to be like. And then what happened, of course, I had a spiritual awakening and a change of attitude and outlook on life. And then what I'm like now that that's happened. Prior to my sobering up, I spent a lifetime, what seemed like, in the Air Force. I joined the Air Force right out of high school in a West Coast state, and just enjoyed doing what I was doing. I was in the Air Force. I was a jet aircraft mechanic, which led me a couple of years after I joined the Air Force to a place, a very unpopular place in Southeast Asia. In Vietnam, I was about 20 years old when it became evident to me that I couldn't really control my drinking. I thought I was a social drinker up to that point, but at somewhere around age 20, I stepped over the line from social drinking to alcoholic drinking, I think. I didn't realize it at the time back then. I said it was evident to me, but it wasn't evident to me at that time. It's been made apparent to me from several moral inventories that I've taken since I took my last drink. But at the time, I thought I could control my drinking. I learned how to lie, cheat, and steal when I was growing up to get what I wanted mainly, and that used to be an integral part of my life. I would try to say things that I thought people wanted to hear, and I would try to be the kind of person I thought people wanted me to be. But when it came down to me wanting to get things that I wanted, I really didn't care too much about I didn't give a lot of consideration to what your wants and needs were. And I became what I've understood to be now a very selfish, self-centered, self-seeking person. As a little child, I was given a religious background, and I've always believed in God. But at about age 15, I gave up on asking questions about God and trying to live by any kind of spiritual means, and turned solely to material needs. Everything that I put stock in was in the material realm. I thought I had to have lots of money to be successful, and I tried to do things like that. Especially after I was discharged from the Air Force, I did spend a whole career in the Air Force, and was able to retire with an Air Force pension, but that was questionable at one point. I had 19 years in the Air Force, and my lying, cheating, and stealing at that point had brought me to a point where I was about to be thrown out of the Air Force and wasn't going to get any kind of retirement. And that was the last straw in my life. I was married 4 years prior to my getting out of the Air Force, prior to my finding a chair in Alcoholics Anonymous. But that wasn't enough to get me to stop drinking. It wasn't until I was threatened with the loss of my Air Force career and pension that I was pressed into doing something about it. I was invited to go to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, and under the auspices that it was going to help me stay in the Air Force. I had 19 years in at that time, and they were about to throw me out. So I said, well, let's go to this meeting, and then I just hope for the best. And from the very first meeting that I went to, I was filled with a hope that I was going to be okay. I didn't know how it was going to happen, when it was going to happen, but I just had a feeling that I was going to be all right, as long as I kept going back to these meetings. And I wanted to go to these meetings. It wasn't as though I had to go, but I wanted to go. And that was the crux of the change for me. I wanted to make change. Didn't know what I was going to have to do, but I did what was suggested to me from the very get-go. There were four things that was suggested that I do. Number one was get a copy of the Big Book, and I did. They told me that I need to read it through several times, probably, before I understood it. And second thing they said I should do is get a sponsor, and I did that within the first week of going to AA meetings. The third thing they said is to get a home group. I didn't know what a home group was, but I asked the question, well, how do I make this my home group? And at the time I was going to meetings in Spanaway, and it was the Spanaway group that I took on as my first home group. The fourth thing they told me that I needed to do was get involved in service somehow. I've subsequently learned there's different areas or levels of service that a person can do. You can do service in the home group. You can do service at the district level. You can do service at the intergroup level, or at the World Services if you want. If you pick up and move back to New York, you can work back there in some kind of service. One thing I've learned, it doesn't matter what level of service a person goes through, the best you're ever going to get in Alcoholics Anonymous is sober. However, a person wants to perform their service is strictly an individual thing, and a person can do it any way they want to. So I got into service at the group level, coffee maker, and back then there were no non-smoking meetings, so I was washing ashtrays as well. And then I got involved in public information. I liked doing some of the things that the Public Information Committee was doing. And I started going to schools and telling my story as best I could. And they suggested I get a copy of the pamphlet speaking at non-AA meetings and study that. So I did. And then I learned how to tell my story. So not so much targeted towards alcoholics, but to the general public. And public information led me into another area that I liked, and that was archives. I became the archivist for a group, and eventually volunteered as a steering committee member in the area archives committee. And I did that for about 6 years. And then really enjoyed that, got to know about Washington State and what went on with AA there. After archives, literature, and I should say, along with archives, literature and Grapevine have always been a big interest to me, because that's where the message doesn't change so much as we do in the fellowship. I've come to believe that there are two different AAs. One is the fellowship of AA that everybody gets introduced to, but it used to be they would say you go to AA and get on the program of AA, and that's what I've adopted to my way of living, is that the two AAs are the fellowship of AA, where I interact with people sitting around meeting rooms and discussing and talking about things. And then the program of AA found in the big book, pages 59 and 60. And the program never changes, but we in the fellowship constantly change. And thank God we do, because it was that change of attitude and outlook that I had to undergo in order to be a better person and learn how to live without the desire to want to drink alcohol. I'm grateful to that power greater than myself that removed from me that obsession to want to drink early on in my sobriety. It was in October of 1982 that I took my last drink, and from that date on, I haven't had any alcohol whatsoever to alter my mind or my thinking in any way. It took about a month while I was in the Air Force for the paperwork to filter down to me to get me to going to Alcoholics Anonymous. And in that 1 month time, fear sobered me for a while, because I was afraid to get drunk again. And every time I drank, I didn't always get into trouble, but every time I was in trouble, I had been drinking. So I just figured I better not drink. And like I said, fear kept me from taking that first drink for the first month. And after I got to AA and got my big book, got a sponsor, got a home group, and started doing little things in the home group to be of service, that's when my life started changing. I started having a different outlook about things in general. And it's been quite the growing process for me ever since I first came to Alcoholics Anonymous. I heard things from the old timers that said things like, you need to remain teachable. And I thought I was teachable, but I never really was teachable up until I started learning how to listen. I did a lot of talking before I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, but I didn't always say much. I was always trying to baffle people with my BS, and so it was that I've learned how to be quiet and gain in so doing, in being quiet, gain in humility. And the things that I didn't have prior to coming to Alcoholics Anonymous. I've had this, what I refer to as a change of attitude and outlook on life, which I think is the definition of either a spiritual awakening or a spiritual experience or a personality change. I've heard it called several things in the readings and all. A psychic change is one thing that's referred to. That's happened in my life now, and because that's happened, I don't lie, cheat, and steal near as much as I used to. I try to stay as humble as I can and recognize that I'm not perfect, and I still hold on to a few defects of character. However, I'm more willing to give them up today when they're brought to the surface and I have a conscious understanding of them. I've got to remain stay in conscious contact with God. I think that if I don't, the chances of me going back out and drinking are going to be really good, and I don't want to do that. I've lived drunk and I've lived sober, and I much prefer living sober than I do drinking. Today I do service at the intergroup level. I still am involved in literature and Grapevine. Try to help others understand the AA program through the reading of not just the big book, but all the literature that Alcoholics Anonymous World Services publishes, as well as the AA Grapevine. There's a lot of information, even in the so-called free pamphlets that are you can find at AA groups on their pamphlet racks, usually, that will help anybody that wants to sober up if they have a drinking problem, to keep them that way. I'm always pushing the need to have a sponsor and the need to have a home group, the need to have a big book, and to be in service. I hear people at the meetings talk about going out all the time, relapsing, and they go through the so-called revolving door. I've learned that one of the question I need to ask a person that keeps doing that is, well, who were you trying to help sober up before you went out? And the answer is invariably nobody. And that's one of the things we have to do, is to freely pass along what we've learned in Alcoholics Anonymous so that we can stay sober ourselves, but in the process might be able to help somebody else sober up. We can plant the seed and watch it grow in the form of sponsorship and things of that nature. I just, again, have to thank God for sobering me up, and I continue to thank God as I become more aware of my defects of character or shortcomings, and He removes them from me. With that in mind, if I want to be free of a defect of character, I've discovered all I have to do is practice the opposite of that which I want to be free. I used to be a consummate liar when I came into Alcoholics Anonymous. I would purposely deceive people, or try to anyway. And I discovered, in order to be honest, that dishonesty goes away. I don't have capacity in my brain to hold dishonesty and honesty at the same time. I have to focus on one or the other. And today I try to be honest and truthful as best I know how. Practice, again, practicing the opposite of what it is I want to be free of is the key to overcoming what's bothering me. I guess that's probably about all I have to share at this time. God bless everybody that wants to stay sober and keep practicing these principles in all your affairs, and don't forget to pass it on. Thank you very much.